Our scripture for today is Mark 5, 21 through 43. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding around you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet. And trembling with fear, she told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He didn't let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished, and he gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to get her something to eat. Well, my inclination when I read today's lectionary passage was to skip it, to choose something else to preach on. Something that doesn't speak of miracle healings. Something that doesn't make us cringe. I imagined you saying to me after service, "Danny, this is a bunch of bunk. A little girl raised from the dead? A woman healed by touching Jesus' robe?" But it's not my job as a preacher to pick and choose what to preach on. It's my job to wrestle with the text chosen by folks wiser than me. I need to wrestle and figure out what the story might be saying to us in this world today, with science informing our opinions and medical advances amazing us all the time. Miracle healings? I would bet each one of us here today knows someone who has suffered or is suffering from a physical condition that can't be prayed away. A very dear friend of mine died last fall. She was diagnosed with cancer of an unknown origin, and within a few months, she was gone. Many people prayed for Karen. A mass was held at her church with a priest praying for healing. Karen had great faith, yet she was not physically healed, and her family grieves each day that she was gone too soon at the age of 57. So no, I cannot in good conscience stand here and tell you a touch will heal you, that your faith, if good enough, will make you whole. I'd be fooling myself, and I'd be trying to fool you. So what do I see in this story that can give me and all of you hope for a healing of sorts, a growing of your faith, a rising up like the young daughter? Today we got to witness Amelia, Cameron and Jill's daughter, dedicated with words and water to welcome her into God's family, a place she already had from birth. And our story today tells us of a 12-year-old, Jairus's daughter, who dies and rises, and an unnamed woman who Jesus calls daughter. Amelia, whose faith is still unformed, has brought smiles to our faces week after week as she grows braver each Sunday. I recall the first few weeks when she wouldn't come forward for the children's message. Then slowly, week by week, she would dart forward and peek around the corner of the pews and then run back to the safety of her mom and dad's arms. I knew we were gaining her trust when on Pentecost Sunday, she came up to me to get her own pinwheel. She didn't want the one her brother was carrying for her. Her trust, her faith that she is in a safe place grows each week as we welcome her and see her and all the children as sons and daughters beloved by God, every one of them children of the church. We officially welcomed Amelia today, but that same welcoming embrace is for all of you, the sons and the daughters, no matter your age, that this church calls home. Those of you who are here today and those not able to be with us. We all have a place here where our faith can stretch and grow. I mentioned during the dedication that Amelia's faith is yet unformed. And it's easy to know that because of her age. She'll be developing her own faith story throughout her life. She'll have questions and doubts. But with care, she will develop a faith that sustains her and brings her comfort in times of trouble and sorrow. And I know that many of us older and wiser are still developing our faith as well, with doubts and with questions. I know that for me, each encounter with difficult circumstances stretches me and my understanding of the God I am coming to know and to trust. So no, my faith is not at all like Jairus, a leader of the synagogue. He knows all the proper ways to worship, where to sit, who to sit with. He's a man of privilege, and he could very well have sent a slave to fetch Jesus. But out of his desperate fear for his daughter, he went himself. He came to ask Jesus to come. Not only ask, but he threw himself at Jesus' feet and begged, "Please, come. Lay hands on my little girl. Heal her. She's my daughter." And our story says, so Jesus went with him. Jairus must have felt relief at that moment when Jesus started to walk along with him. Whew. He's got that great miracle worker going home with him to fix everything. But a crowd pressed in and everyone was jostling and bumping into one another. And in all that pushing and the pressing of flesh, there's a woman sneaking up from behind to simply touch the corner of Jesus' robe. Some of the translations say she just touched the fringe at the end of it. And no, I don't have faith like that woman either. The woman who is bleeding in our story today, I can't imagine what her life must have been like. She would have been ostracized from all social encounters. She would have been unable to go to the synagogue or the temple. She couldn't touch people and they couldn't touch her. Not even her own family could have physical contact. No goodnight kisses and hugs, because they would become unclean as well. Any food she cooked, they would not have been able to eat. Her life has been one of exile, along with the physical pain. She's in emotional isolation. Have there been times maybe in your life when you felt like that, emotionally isolated? Perhaps you've broken an unspoken rule of your family and no one will speak to you. Imagine 12 years of being on the outside. I know many people have felt themselves on the outside of society because of who they love, because of how they look. And I imagine that some of you know that kind of pain as well. But to be perfectly honest, I think I would have given up way before 12 years. But we see her here in this jostling crowd. Is she afraid that somebody's going to recognize her as the bleeding woman that shouldn't be touched? Are they going to shout, "Get back! Get away!" After all, she's got to be bumping into and touching people in the crowd. She's got to be a little bit scared. But she'd heard about Jesus, and for her, hearing was enough to think in her desperation, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Well, in this day and age, we know that touching someone's clothes won't get us very far. We have doctors and hospitals and tests that we rely on, and modern medicine is one of our new gods. If we can just find the right physician, the right test, the right pill. Well, this poor woman had been to too many doctors. They'd bled her dry of all her money, as well as the physical bleeding, the being ostracized. She's broke. So maybe she thought in her desperation, "I've tried everything else. If I just touch his robe." And you know, she grew worse every year, 12 years, the same number of years that Jairus' daughter had been alive. So imagine at Jairus' daughter's birth, that first cry, and somewhere else in the city, a woman begins to bleed and is ostracized from life. So we have one story, the story of Jairus and his ill daughter, interrupted by the other story of the unnamed woman. Yet Jesus is able to respond to both. And Jairus' important position matters not to Jesus. He doesn't brush aside the unnamed woman, saying, "No, no, I've got to be on my way. This important guy needs me." So yes, an important man is calling on Jesus to come and help. But Jesus stopped mid-journey to deal with a nameless woman. He stopped to see this woman as she is, faith-filled, fear-filled. Now that Jesus was going to stand there until she revealed herself. For those of you who are timid, I know how the sweat begins the minute you're the center of attention. Every eye had turned to her, but Jesus called her daughter. I like to think in that moment, in that word, he not only restored her health, but he restored her confidence and her place in society. Go in peace, daughter. In the Message translation of the verse, it says, "Daughter, you took a risk of faith, and now you're healed. Live well, live blessed." And isn't that what we all want? To live well and live blessed. So no, I don't have that unnamed woman's kind of faith. But I was recently given the gift of a laying on of hands. I was in despair over a situation I couldn't control. I was powerless to change the circumstances. And two people offered to pray for me. They put their hands on my shoulders and prayed. I don't know what they said. I only know that I was no longer alone. I had others with me in my struggle, pulling for me, joining with me. And I felt a healing take place in that prayer. No, my situation wasn't fixed. But there was a power that moved from them into me, a power to face the next day. So I know what Jesus felt when the story says Jesus realized power had gone out from him. I know that kind of power is what we draw on in our prayers for one another each week. We join our strength and our faith with others who need, and we draw the power from those who are feeling strong at that moment. But no, my faith is not like Jairus. When he said, "Lay hands on her, Jesus, and my daughter will be healed," my faith is not as strong and sure as the woman who said to herself, "If I can touch his robe." But I can show that same kind of healing and mercy that Jesus did. And I can recognize each one of you as God's beloved, God's sons and daughters. After the encounter with the bleeding woman, Jesus continued on his way to the home of Jairus, in spite of the news that she had died. And Jesus' response that she is sleeping is a term used several times in the Bible to signify not death, but a deep trust in God. So is this a resurrection? I don't know. I wasn't there. But Jairus and the others went into the room where the little girl lay, and she got up when Jesus took her hands. Again, a touch is involved, and Jesus made this daughter a priority. It's suggested by Beverly Zink Sawyer that this text challenges us to change and consider our priorities. Who and what gets to the top of our list, and how do we make that decision? Perhaps, she says, those who are the most deserving of our attention may be the least visible ones. For Jesus, the most important thing in that moment is to face the person who has touched him, to encounter that person as a human being, not just an anonymous touch. And I think each of us can do that. We can see others who are in need of healing as human beings. See more than their initial complaint. We can see with the eyes of love. Look at more than what's on the surface. And then respond out of love as this, if this person were a part of our own family, our mother, father, brother, son, daughter. Today you were asked to promise your love, support, and care for Amelia as a beloved daughter of the church, as she grows in faith. And I challenge you to provide that same love and support and care for one another going forward into the future with your new pastor. I ask you to support each other in the newness John brings, that you provide John the love and support as well. Maybe each of you can be an instrument of making a miracle with a touch or a prayer. According to Noah Ben Shea, author of Jacob the Baker, a miracle is often the willingness to see the common in an uncommon way. To see the common in an uncommon way. So healing may not be stopping a cancer, curing an addiction, fixing a marriage, or bringing home a distant child. It may be a simple prayer with a hug, or a laying of hands on a shoulder, a touch like Jesus shared with each of these daughters. Your act of reaching out with compassion may bring a bit of healing to someone in an uncommon way. So what story will we allow to be inserted in the midst of our own lives? Where will we find the courage to reach out and look in an uncommon way? Reach out with hope that healing can occur. No, I don't have the kind of faith our story spoke of. I'm working on it. With every encounter I have, I'm working on growing my own faith. And perhaps if we keep reaching, we, all of us, you and I, can find that kind of faith and healing for ourselves and for one another in an uncommon way. Beloved sons, blessed daughters, I invite you to risk, reach. Know that you are seen with the eyes of love, and then have faith in the reaching that there is healing for all sons and all daughters, healing of an uncommon kind.